Vayika Chirach ben Yitzor ben Kohos ben Levi Vigosan Vaviram b'nei Eliyot Vayim ben Peles b'nei Ruven. Chirach, the son of Yitzor, the son of Kohos ben Levi, took, and Rashi teaches, what did he take? He took himself away from the Kehil. He left himself away. He made a machloikis biyodayim. The Gemara Sanhedrin that Tezayim Amidbei says, Malwakach, Vayika Kairach, what did he take? Omar Reish Lokish, Shalokach Mekach Ra La'atzma. He made a bad investment for himself. Gevehintach, a fellow that's wealthy, he understands business and he makes good investments. Over here, Lokach Mekach Ra La'atzma. Got himself into trouble. As I say, for Yalkut HaGirishuni, yes, what does it mean, Shalokach Mekach La'atzma? Should have said, Shalokach Mekach Ra, finished. What is this La'atzma? For himself. Of course it was for himself. See, he brings down, Meshem the Kol Aryeh. Kol Aryeh from the Gdoile, Hungary. Kol Aryeh says that, how is Kairach Zoyche? How did he make such a mistake? Because the Emes Rashi says he saw into the future, and he saw that Gedolim will come from him. Shmuel Hanavi, 24, Mishmorais of Levi'im, that will all say Ruach HaKodesh, they will all come from him. So he figured, oh, these people are going to come from me, Sa'ala Rabba, I'm going to end up on top over here in this Machloikis. And he made a mistake. He made a mistake. What was his mistake? Zog the Kol Aryeh. The only reason such tzaddikim came out of him is b'schus, the Kiddush Hashem that came about because of his downfall. That's how he was zeichet to such gedolim, to Shmuel Hanavi and 24 Mishmaris of Gehuna. Similarly, the Gemara says, when they boner shel Sancheirev, lomdu Torah Barabim, the descendants of Sancheirev, they taught Torah Barabim. Who were they? Shmaya v'Avtalion. What's the pshat? Because through Sancheirev came a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. He had a tremendous mapola. But such a Kiddush Shem Shemayim came about that it was only Otah that Mashiach would come at the time. It's only because Chizkiyahu HaMelech didn't say Shira that he wasn't the Melech HaMashiach. So a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim came out because of him. Same thing with Nebono Shel Haman, Lomdu Torah B'nei Brak. According to one Girsa in the Gemara Umanu, Rishmul Bar Shailas, from the greatest Mechanchim in his door. How was Haman Zayichet to such a thing? Because Hagam, he didn't mean it, but through him came a tremendous Kiddushim Shemayim, the Neis of Purim, and also a tremendous Kabbalah Satayra. Through that he was Zayichet to Einiklich that were B'nai Tayra. That's the same thing over here, Zog the Kol Aryeh. Kairach was only Zayichet to Einiklich and such a Madrega, because through him came out of Kiddushim Shemayim, that this is what happens when you want to wage a machlekes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and against someone he chooses to be the leader. So that was the mistake. So Zog the Yalkut HaGirshuni, that's the pshat, Lokach Mekach Ra La'atzma. And this is for his descendants, it was a good Mekach. Because of what he did, it ended up that they ended up becoming big Gedolei Torah, right? But Lokach Mekach Ra La'atzma, the cheshen that he made, ended up being a Mekach Ra for himself. Hagamah was good for other people. Chavetz Chaim used to say over about this parasha. Chavetz Chaim said that the Velt says over that the biggest tipish is a pikeach when it comes to matters of himself. When it comes to getting himself out of a jam, he'll think, even if he's not such a wise person, when it comes to himself, he'll think of ways to be matzliach. In Choshen Mishpat Simen Pei Beis, you have Chloe Migu, tainas that a person could have tainted in Bezdin, and based on those tainas, people win court cases in Bezdin. I got a lot of people wouldn't think of that. What makes you assume that the regular average person would think of those tainas? The Teretz is, even the biggest tippish, when it comes to his own game, he'll think of those tainas as a pikeach. Zochter Chavetz Chaim, and I say that sometimes the biggest pikeach, when it comes to himself, is the biggest tippish. You see over here, Kairach. Rashi says, Kairach she pikeach koyeh. He was a pikeach. You know, if the Chofetz Chaim would call somebody pikeach, we all would rush to him. If the Vilna Gaon would call somebody pikeach, we'd all rush to him to hear his eitzes. Rashi calls him a pikeach. Rashi's quoting a chazal. Obviously, Kayach was a meridik pikeach. But Lamaisha, when it came to his own matters, he was megeh bedover. He was the biggest tippish. Lokach mekach ra la'atzmoy. For himself, he made a bad deal. For other people, he made a great deal. For himself, he made a lousy deal. Mishnah Masechta Zovis says, Kol machloikis yehi l'shem shamayim, soifo l'hiskayim. Any machloikis, which is l'shem shamayim, will be everlasting. V'sheino l'shem shamayim, ein soifo l'hiskayim. Something that's not l'shem shamayim will not be everlasting. Ezehu machloikis l'shem shamayim? What is an example of a machloikis l'shem shamayim? Zu machloikis hilu v'shamayim. V'sheino l'shem shamayim? Zu machloikis Kairav Vadose. What does it mean in Machloikis, which is Seifel Hiskayim? You see that Beis Hillel's words and Beis Shammai's words are everlasting. Until Mashiach comes, we paskin like Beis Hillel. When Mashiach comes, the Arizal says, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. It means a person shouldn't make the mistake and think Beis Shammai B'machim Hillel is Ein Mishnah. That's Bisman Hazeh. But Losalovies of the Arizal, we're going to be paskin like Beis Shammai. So both of their words are correct. For nowadays, Beis Hillel is correct. For loss of love, Beis Shammai's Mahalach is correct. That's a Machloikas which is Seifel Hiskayim. Mashenkin Kairach is deep beneath the ground. So, Shtelz of the Shaila, every time you have a Machloikas, everybody means the same Shemayim. Everybody says, oh, of course, I don't mean for myself, I mean the same Shemayim. Often a Machloikas starts the same Shemayim. So, how does one know whether he should take part in such a machloikis or not? By Kairach l'achar ha-maisa, we know that Kairach was the one that did a machloikis shalei l'shem shamayim. But look at Chilla, when the machloikis first takes, you know, place, how do you know if it's a machloikis l'shem shamayim or not? They say over b'shem one of the G'dayla Yoylam, I forgot already who it was, but they say over b'shem one of the G'dayla Yoylam that his neshama was once in the Dor HaMidbar. And he remembers that Moshe Rabbeinu and his few people that backed him, they were on one side, and Kairach Vadosei, they had the voice, that they had the ear of many people, and there was a crowd in the middle, and he was in that crowd in the middle. They didn't know whether to go to Moshe Rabbeinu or to Kairach. They didn't know. It's Amish the Machloikas. So how does one Taka know? What is the problem? What is the litmus test to know if something is a Machloikas L'Shem Shamayim or not? So getting some Eibshitz in the Sefer Yaros Dvash, he says that if the people that are involved in the Machloikas are friends with each other, and aside from this thing that's in question, they're mechabit each other, and they agree with each other, and they're peaceful with each other, do they have a Machloikas in this particular thing? That's a simon of the Machloikas L'Shem Shamayim. If, on the other hand, because of the Machloikas, they call each other names, and they get unruly with one another, and they're not mechabed one another, then you know it's Machloikas L'Shem Shamayim. By Hill and Shammai, they were mamish oyhav mzelozeh. They mamish had tremendous ahava to each other. Chazal say one of the reasons why we paskin like Hillel is because he always used to mention Shammai's opinion before he mentioned his own. He was mechabit Shammai and said his opinion before his own. That's a machloikas l'shem shamayim. When they love each other, and when be'etzem they mechabit each other. But if people, they act out of character, and they act in a way that they're not supposed to, they get all riled up because of the machloikas, and they display bad midas, that's a simon that it's a machloikas shalei l'shem shamayim. By Kairach you see, that Kairach has also made litzonos from Moshe Rabbeinu. Every one of the people of the Adas Kairach, they did kinui, they warned their wife, altistri and ishpani. You can massacre such a thing. You know, the lowest thing in the world, a person used to warn his wife not to hang around with a different man. They were chayshid Moshe Rabbeinu and eshesish with their wives. And they were ferish made kinuys on the chazal. And they were mavaz to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they wanted to stone Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the biggest simon, that this is a machloikis shaloi l'shem shamayim. Over the machloikis shamayim, and hills, a machloikis l'shem shamayim. Let's make a chesmet over here. Masechtas Yevamos, the first mission of Masechtas Yevamos. So, the first mission is Beis Hillel. Chomish Esrei Noshim, Paitris Tzarei Seyem, the Tzarei Tzarei Seyem, and Achalitzu Menayim. Beis Hillel says there's a thing called the Tzarei Erev, that if she falls to Yivam, the Yavam is not allowed to be Yavam. Beis Shammai holds, No, there's no such thing as Tzaras Erev. He doesn't hold with Tzaras Erev. Tzaras Erev is mutter to be miyav. That means that according to Beis Hillel, that it's also to be miyav, and she's a chayv krisus. Now going to be miyav. So, and Beis Shammai holds, it's mutter to marry such a person. There's a mitzvah to marry such a person. Beis Shammai married women that Beis Hillel held with chayv krisus, and that the kids are mamzeid. So you would think that these two kehillas would manage be at opposite ends of the world. According to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai's descendants, there's Mamzerim amongst them. And according to Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel is being makel in the din of Yibum, and they're allowing Yibums to go out and marry other people, when really there's a mitzvah of Yibum. And the Gemara says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel used to intermarry with each other. Imagine something like that happening today. They kept a cheshbon of who married the Tzaras Erev. They kept a record of that. The Taka didn't marry those. But basically, the two kehillas blended with each other. Can you imagine something like that happening today? That one kehillah holds that the other kehillah has mamzerim in it. Oh boy. He'll be nervous. But that's the pshat of machloikas l'shem shamayim. That they're mechabit each other and they respect each other's opinion. That is the problem of Machloikas L'shem Shamayim. The famous story, the Russian government, the Tsar, with the help of some quote-unquote Jewish friends, Maskilim, they wanted to institute a new rule that a rav of a town should be fluent in Russian. And they would have to learn Russian, take secular courses to learn Russian. There was a big shayla amongst the Rabbonim, amongst the Gedolim, whether to fight this Gzeira or whether they should accept it. So Rameir Simchakoy, Mamish the Gadol Ador at the time, he called together a group of Rabbonim, and they decided to discuss this inyan. Should they give in to this? Should they fight it? And Rameir Simcha was noite, yeah, that they should give in. That's so terrible. He felt adorable. That if the Rav knows how to speak Russian, then perhaps the government will be more matched to him, will have a way of communicating with the government. Chaim Brisker was digs adamantly against it. If that's going to become a new criteria of who becomes a rabbi, then it's not going to go both of who is the biggest in learning. You're also going to have other milas. He says, you can't do that. That's a pagam in the Kedusha of Rabbanus. Anyway, Chaim saw that Rameir Simcha was gathering together people on his side. So he sent a messenger to the Chofetz Chaim to quickly come here to Petersburg and to voice his opinion. So the Chofetz Chaim, he came running, and he appears by this meeting. The Meir Simcha says, what are you doing here? He says, I came, my sister is having an operation in town. I wanted to come. Your sister was having an operation. What's wrong with you? He became all concerned. So Chofetz Chaim said, my sister is the Torah. As it says, Imri l'chochma achlisi ot. Say about Torah, she is my sister. And then the Chofetz Chaim started crying. And he started mamish with an impassioned plea. And he said, used to be a time that when they looked for shaykhdim, they looked for the best shaykh, who was the biggest bucky in halakhas, and was able to do it the best. And what happened was, one kill all of a sudden decided that, oh, they can get a shaykh that's also a chazin, so they'll try and combine the two. And ever since then, the quality of shaykhdom went down, because they started taking shaykhdom based on their ability to sing, and their ability to be chazanim, and other kinds of zakim, and it brought down the caliber of shaykhdom. That's what's going to happen over here with Rabbanim. If the criteria of a rav is going to be a Russian and other inyanim, it's going to bring down the criteria of Rabbanim. And the Chofetz Chaim carried the day, and the Maaseh was Mashpia, and they decided to fight against it. Rameir Simcha, was visibly upset. And the Chofetz Chaim overheard a comment that he made, that there's a little aklenchiger, there's a little yid that comes from a little town and says simple words, and his simple words are heard more than the biggest rabbanim of the biggest cities with their highfalutin words. This is what he said. So the Chofetz Chaim went to be Mephias. He wanted to be Mephias, Rameir Simcha. He heard that he had to pay it. So the Chofetz Chaim brings down Rav Meir Simcha in the Bir Halacha in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. He brings him down, which is not characteristic. He never brought down peers, you know, contemporaries. He never brought down contemporaries. So there was one of the Gedolim who was interested, like, what was the, he was choshed that the reason was he wanted to be dafka give cover to Rav Meir Simcha, you know, to be Mephias, and he was Mavar, that was dafka the Yemes. When the Chofetz Chaim left back home, he went to say goodbye to Rav Meir Simcha. And they started discussing it again, and Rav Meir Simcha walked out. So Chofetz Chaim told his shamish, take a look at the godless of this man. Rav Meir Simcha knows that he's a kohen, and kohanim are old to get angry. And Mamela, before he got angry, he felt that he's going to get angry. He'd rather walk out than to create a machlekes. Rav Chaim Grisker told his shamish, let's go say goodbye to Rav Meir Simcha before he left home. So Shama said, I thought you were fighting with him, you know, you're going to say goodbye to him. So Chaim looks at me and said, what are you talking about? He said, you don't think that I believe he's the God of Lador and Learning? He said, I had a disagreement with him in Shita. What's it got to do with being Mechabit, the God of Lador and Learning? That's a perfect example of Machloikis L'Shem Shemayim, you know, as opposed to Machloikis Kerech V'Adosai, that they resorted to insults and to being Mevazah, the God of Lador. Vayayim Moshe. B'zoyz teidun ki Hashem shlochani, lasoyz es kol ha-maisim ha-eile. With this you will know that Hashem sent me to do all of these maisim. Es kol ha-maisim ha-eile, ki loim ilibi. I did not invent this out of my heart. So the Brisker Rav asks a question. What is this double lashon over here? B'zoyz teidun ki Hashem shlochani, ki loim ilibi. If Hashem sent him, of course it's not from his own heart. Right. So why did he have to say "Bezoyis Teidun Ki Hashem Shlochani"? And secondly, "Kiloi Milibi." Zokta Brisker Rav that Kairach over here was kaifer in two basic yisayis. Number one, he was kaifer in the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the main navi, like Kom Kimoisha, that came from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That was one thing that he was kaifer in. But second thing that he was kaifer in was in the mitzvahs of the Torah. He made litzanas from the mitzvah tzitzis. He made litzanas from other mitzvahs, as the Medrash tells us. See, he was kaifer and teira gufa. So that's what the pasuk is saying over here. B'zoyis teidur and kiyashem shlochani lasas akala ma'isam ha'eila. On the kfira that he's being kaifer and me being the leader of Klal Yisrael, now you'll know Hashem is the one that sent me. Kalapi, the kfira that he says that I made up the teira and the teira is not really from Hashem, kiloi me'libi. I didn't do this from my own heart. Azoyz Dr. Brisker Rav. Now the Gemara Baba Basra, the fine Dalit, tells us a Mayu the Kemaisa. Rabbi Bar Bachana was once traveling in the Midbar, and he related that there was a Bedouin traveler that took him around and showed him the sights of the Midbar. And he says, come, let me show you where Kairach V'Adosai was swallowed up. So he showed him there were two cracks in the ground, and smoke was coming up from over there. He took a piece of wool and he put it on a stick. He made it wet and he stuck it in there, and it came out, it was singed. And he heard, he says, listening to what they're saying. He heard them saying, Moshe emes, they say, Rose emes. Moshe's emes and his Torah is emes, v'anu badoyim, and we are, you know, we are mistaken. We are liars, actually. So what's this meaning of Moshe Emes B'Shei Rossi Emes? By the way, many on Simchas Torah, we jump up with the Sefer Torah, Moshe Emes B'Shei Rossi Emes, that's reenacting Kairach V'Adosai, because the Bedouin told them that every 30 days, you know, the earth brings them up, and that's when they say Moshe Emes B'Shei Rossi Emes. So we reenact them by jumping up and saying Moshe Emes B'Shei Rossi Emes. So Dr. Brisker, what's the double lashon, Moshe Emes V'Saros Emes. So that's the two things that we're talking about over here. Because Kairach was kaifering two things. Saying Moshe Rabbeinu being the leader of Klal Yisrael, that's not Emes. And the Torah of the Mitzvahs, that's not Emes. So later on, when they're down there already and they recognize the truth, they say Moshe Emes, he is chosen Taki, V'Saros Emes, V'Anu Badoim, and we attack the liars. Shaken Pasuk, by Eloinu Kaladas B'nei Yisrael Mimachras. After they saw the Ma'udik Nation, the ground opening up, and the fire burning the people around with the pans, they said, Atem Hamitem as Am Hashem. So the Moshe Feinstein asks a question. How can they say something like that? And you saw with your own eyes that the ground opened up. You saw with your own eyes this Moshe the Gineis. You saw the Magefer. So how can they accuse Moshe the Aaron of them being the ones that are guilty of killing the Am Hashem? So Moshe says, Zichar, they knew that it was Min HaShemayim, that it wasn't Moshe the Aaron that did it. They knew that it was Min HaShemayim. The time to Moshe and Aaron was, if you would not have been makbid on your covet, if you would have been Michael, then such a Maisha never would have happened. Sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it, but he did it because he wanted to defend your covet. If you wouldn't have been makbid, if you would have been Michael, it wouldn't have happened. But why Taka didn't Moshe, why wasn't he Michael? The Torah says he wasn't allowed to be Michael in such a case. And the emphasis we know that it was Alpi Hashem. Hashem is the one that said, separate yourselves. There was no longer a time to be Michael. Why not? So the Chabad Chaim says, when Rachmana Litzlan, there's a cholera epidemic that spreads, and it's very contagious. And there's people that go around and they're Moshe Nefesh trying to save, you know, as many lives as they can. They put their lives on the line. They put themselves in danger. They'll do everything possible to save others. The people that they save, there's still a chance of saving them. They're still alive. But once the person is dead, they run away from the body because the dead body is also contagious. They run away from there and they just stop doing what they're doing. They concentrate on a different area. Kolzman, Korek Vadosei, they were alive and there was a chance of bringing them back. Moshe Rabbeinu, not only did he call Dosan Baviram, he went to Dosan Baviram. He tried talking to Kairach. He was Mavati himself. He lowered his covet to be Mavatilis Machlaikis. But once they reached the point, he saw that they had such chutzpah kalapi him that they were uncontrollable, and it was impossible to bring them back. That's already a getter of kol bo'echa lo yeshuvun. It reaches a point where people go over the line. They're over the top. It's no longer shy to bring them back. So then already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't be makar of them anymore. And Adoram, do not be Michael on your covenant. The only way is if Klal Yisrael sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a calamity because of what they did. It is said over on Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that in the period of Haskalah, he tried hard to be makar of people. But then he saw that they reached a point where it's not shy to be makar of them. He totally went in a different direction. He wasn't makar of them at all. Now, as long as it's shy, as long as there's hope, as long as he thinks they're alive, then there's a reason to go into it, even though there's a shash of getting contaminated. You know, maybe they'll have a hashpah on him. But once he saw that it was impossible, that's already a machla that you have to run away from. And that's what happened over here with Moshe Rabbeinu. The earth swallowed them up and their houses, everyone that was part of Kairach's Eda, and all of the money. Why did the Torah stress over here that the ground swallowed up their money? And why indeed did it have to swallow up their money? Does money play a role when you're talking about Kalapi people? You know, when you're talking about people, so many people swallowed up, does it really make a difference that their money was swallowed up with them? Like, we might have to mean it. You find in the Torah there's a concept of kum leibed rab minei, that if a person is chai v'chiv of misa, and he's also chai v'chiv of mammon, he's potter from the chiv of mammon. Kalapi misa, the chiv of mammon is potter. So why over here does the Torah stress that they were swallowed up and their money was swallowed up? What is it negeya? Rabbeinu Bechaya, in his Hakdama on the Parsha, brings down a medrash about a posik. It's a posik in Mishle Yud Aleph. Boiteach ba'oshrei hu yipon. Somebody that relies on his riches, he will fall. Zeh Kairach, this is referring to Kairach. Why? Why is it referring to Kairach? Because he relied on his riches, and the end result was that his riches went down together with him into the ground. That's a Mayurika Limud. I mean, Rashi brings down in Sanhedrin that, first of all, a person that's rich, a lot of times he figures he's influential, he'll get by, you know, he can do anything he wants. But Rashi says that he took a bribe to Rashi Sanhedrin. He gave them money, and that's the way he was able to get them into his kehillah. So Kairach relied on his riches. So here the Torah tells us, with the riches, he went down, and the riches went down with him. And that's a limud that a person can never rely on his riches. It's a present from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if he doesn't use it properly, then he can lose all of it. Reb Elinkir, the Rav of Lida, the Lida Rav, he once was traveling, and he once ended up staying at the home of a major, major gvir. This fellow was well known for his riches. His mouth stuck also. So this fellow was talking to the Reb Elinkir, the Lida Rav. He's telling him about all of the real estate he has, about all of his investments, and he owns this, and he owns that. And he tells him, I have no problem for the rest of my life with parnosa, you know, and food on my table. I'm not going to have a problem with that for the rest of my life. He tells him, Chas v'shalom, how can you talk like that? You know, a person can never be sure of himself. Everything is totally on Kodesh Baruch. So he says, you know, health, Shalom buys these kind of things that I got him for. He says, but riches, I have all the riches in the world. You know, what do I have to worry about? I'm never going to have a problem with parnasa. And this Reb Elinkir was trying to talk him out. How can you talk like that? Years later, Reb Elinkir was once visiting the Beis Medrash where the guests, there was a special Beis Medrash that they had for guests and for aniyim, and there was a Hachnosis Orchim nearby. So he was checking it out to see that everything was fine, it was working properly. And he sees a yid that looks familiar, a pauper, mamish. And Oni the Evian is in that building over there. He said, where do I know this person? I know he looks familiar. So he walked over to the person, he gave him Shalom Aleichem. He said, Aleichem Shalom. He says, does the Rav remember me? So he says, yeah, I remember you. He says, you want to stay by my house? This was the Gvir that said that he's never, you know, never going to have a problem with Parnosa. What happened? He lived in Russia. So what happened was one time, a Cossack, fellow of the Russian army, was riding on a horse over a bridge that belonged to this Yid. And he owned that river, that area. And that piece of wood collapsed. And the horse with the rider fell into the water and drowned. And they blamed this Yid that he's an anarchist, that he didn't bedakta, and he was the cause of this fellow dying. They took over all of his properties, they took over all of his riches, and he ran away with his life. He was left with nothing. And he says, I'm maided to the Rav. I remember that I told the Rav then that never will I have a problem with Parnassa, and now I want to be maided to the Rav. The Rav was trying to talk me out of that, and I want to be maided that the Rav is right. And that's a lima that we learned from over here. Does not Rabbeinu Bechai over here that Beiteir Ba'ashrei Hu Yipoil Zek Chayrach. Chayrach thought he could rely on his riches, and that's going to get him by. And the safe double was that was his downfall. Good Shabbos, everybody.